Well, that's an amazing passage of scripture in the Old Testament. But I'm not preaching from those verses this morning, but they provide a wonderful background to what the Apostle Paul gives us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul urges, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, all who are in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Now, here in this first letter of Paul to Timothy, the apostle is encouraging Timothy in his ministry in Ephesus. He's Paul's right-hand man, and he wants to instruct Timothy, to instruct the church in Ephesus. This is a letter coming from the first century AD, and around 60 AD at that. And he is preaching, he's speaking, he's writing this letter to encourage the church in its life and work, especially in chapters 2 and 3. And in the first section, verses 1 to 7 of chapter 2, he is concerned that the church remembers its calling to spread the good news. So that's why he is asking for prayer, that the gospel might spread. He's not praying that they will have stable government in order that Christians might put their feet up and enjoy themselves and not have too much trouble in this world. No, he is praying that the church will pray for leadership, good government, that stability might reign, peace might reign for the spread of the good news of the gospel. You notice the number of times the word all is used in this passage, because God, the living God, wants all people to know the truth about Jesus Christ. And so that is his first big point here. And in verses 5 and 6, Paul gives us a summary of what the Christian message is all about. And it's a very striking statement. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And now then, this gives us really a summary of what the Christian message is all about. If you want to know briefly what the Christian truth is, then here we have it. And we've got truth concerning God, we've got truth concerning ourselves, and truth concerning Jesus. First of all, you've got truth concerning God. There is one God. That's why we read the passage from Jeremiah chapter 10. It's amazing, isn't it, that throughout most of the history of the world, people have been worshiping all kinds of gods, so-called. But in Israel, they were taught there is only one God. All the other nations around them, all the nations that sought to overpower them and take them over, yet this was the big truth. Sometimes they succumbed to believing in false gods. But the great truth all through the Old Testament, there is only one true and living God. And you come through into the New Testament, and the apostles were preaching in the context of the Roman Empire, with all the gods of Greece and Rome. And here is the Apostle Paul telling Timothy there is one God, and encouraging him and the church at Ephesus that there is only one true and living God. And he keeps on spelling this out in various letters of his, in Corinthians and in the letters to the Thessalonians, that you came from idols to serve the living and the true God. And he's quoting that, of course, from Jeremiah chapter 10. So in these days in which we live, we need to remind ourselves of this, that there is only one true and living God. Of course, there are people today, as in the days when Paul was around, people saying, well, okay, and the Romans were quite nice when it came to religion, that you could really believe what you liked, and they would often take the gods that they conquered and join them to their gods. And they were quite pluralistic society as we've got today. But against the tide, against the political opinions of the day, they maintained there is one God. And that's the truth of the matter. Many so-called gods, as Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, many so-called gods. And there are many so-called gods today. Not only of wood and stone, and in many parts of the world where I have been, even in sophisticated cultures like South Korea and Singapore, you will see little offerings on the side of the road to gods. And yet, there is only one true God. Always has been, and always will be, the living God, the God who is there, the God who has revealed himself and has made himself known in wonderful ways. This is the God who has created all things. This is the God who has created human beings like ourselves. We need to remember this truth concerning the living and true God, that there is no God but the one true God revealed in the Bible. Above all the so-called gods, there is this King eternal, immortal, invisible, who alone is wise, the great creator of all things visible and invisible. And it's belief in this God that can alone give us any ethical standards and moral power, and how much we need that in our day. Back to reality with the living and the true God. And how thankful we all ought to be that there is only one God who is good and always does what is right. We don't have to try pleasing many gods at the same time, or trying to play one God off against the other. That's what they were doing in Greece, and that's what they were doing in the Roman world. But thank God for this good news. It's good news. There is one and only one true and living God. I'm stressing this because we are living in a sad day at the moment, and we need to emphasize these great truths. Now, people don't like to hear it because we're living at a time when, well, you've got your God and I've got my God and all the rest of it. But it won't do, will it? Because there's only one true and living God who has made himself known in the Bible, and of course, who you see his activity in the world we live in. Now, we come to the second point, which is truth concerning ourselves. It talks about us human beings. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, humankind, like you and me. We're part of this world that God has created, and God has created human beings, male and female. And the Christian message has much to say about us. The human race is one, of one blood, whether African, Asian, Australian, European, British, English, Welsh, we're all of one blood. And we're all creatures of this one God. We owe our lives to this one God. We were created in his image to have a personal relationship with this living and true God. But of course, there's something very seriously wrong. And this portion of scripture talks about being saved. In fact, Paul uses the word saved so many times in writing to Timothy and Titus. He talks here about God, our Savior. And he is saying that we need this truth in order to be saved. Who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, in verse 6, there's a reference to ransom for all. Ben mentioned the word ransom. I don't know why it was in his prayer, but as we were dealing with the communion service, ransom came up. And ransom implies that we human beings are in great trouble, that we've been taken hostage. I don't know, some years ago, a plane took off from Afghanistan, and there were lots of folks on the plane, but it was taken over, hijacked. But the people in the plane, they were willing that this was so in order that they might get out of their sad situation and land in a place much better, they thought, than Afghanistan at the time. Willing hostages they were. And that's what we are by nature. We've been taken hostage. We are hostages to sin and Satan. And yet we've willing hostages. We like it. We like our sins. That's the world we live in today. And it's getting worse in our Western society. Fellowship with God has been broken. Instead of loving God and serving him, the God who has made us and loved us and keeps us going, we have hated him and broken his commandments. And so we need saving from our sins, the sins we deserve the severest of punishment for rebelling against this living and true God. So that is what everyone justly deserves. We need saving from our sins and for the awful punishment that is heading our way. We are in a mess morally. I was listening to The Moral Maze last night, and oh boy, I don't know if you ever hear it on BBC Radio 4, dealing with this trans business. What a mess we're in. I can't understand. For 50 years ago, it would be absolutely incredible to be even thinking about such things. And yet, we've come to the stage where those who claim to be wise are just acting in such foolish and ignorant ways. But that's going away from God leads us into such desperate situations that we find in our country. But there is good news. Good news for such people. And that's why we not only go into prisons, but that's why we go into the open air. That's why we go wherever we can to preach this good news to rich and poor, to those who think themselves great and in need of nothing, as well as those who realize they have messed up. Those who put their bins out weekly, they also need a savior, as well as those who are disgusting in their attitudes and behavior. We all are sinners. We all need a savior. And we thank God for the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, the third element here. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Who is he? Well, he's one of us. The emphasis here is on the man, his human nature. He wasn't a God dressed up as a man. He wasn't an angel dressed up as a man. He was a real man, flesh and blood man. The New Testament keeps on emphasizing that, a flesh and blood human being. From John's Gospel to John's Epistle, you get this point very clearly. So we have a real person, a real human being who has actually lived in our world from birth to manhood, who knows what it's like to be tossed around and messed up and by other people and bullied and all the rest of it. He knows it. He's been through it. And yet, through it all, he remained sinless. He was always true to his heavenly Father in all he did, and went to the cross for the very purpose of dying for sins of humanity. We've been, again, in the communion table, remembering this great act of love and kindness. And Ben read from Isaiah chapter 53. And there we have that great prophecy concerning our Lord's death on the cross. So, Jesus, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the one promised in the Old Testament. He is the one God has sent to be our Savior. But isn't it interesting he should say, the man, Christ Jesus, and then right at the end of this portion in chapter 3, verse 16, he should say, this is the one revealed in the flesh, seen in the flesh. Why should he say that? We don't say that of other people, do we? Because we are flesh and blood people from the very beginning. but he was before the beginning. He is God in the flesh. He is God and man. And that's what we need. And that's why we've got the greatest mediator that there ever could be. There's no one better, no one equal. No one can do what our Lord can do, because he is both God and man. You know, mediators, they act between two people when things get a bit rough. And there's a great problem between, as we've already said, between us and God, and God and us. God is angry at sin, rightly angry, rightly angry. And we deserve the punishment that is due for our sins. But then, from our part, we are out of sorts with God. But Jesus Christ is the God-man. And as we have arbitrators to bring workers and managers together, so we have the Lord Jesus Christ to bring humans to God and God to humans. This Jesus, who is both God and human, this is the one who is our Savior, the Savior of sinners, the world's Savior, not just the Savior of Jews. This is the emphasis here, you see, saying he's not just for one race and group of people, he's for all races, he's for all nations. That's why this all is mentioned so many times in this passage. It's for everyone. And so, dear friends, he's for you today. If you don't know this Savior, he is for you. And if you do know this Savior, then this gospel is the only gospel that can meet the needs of human beings the world over. Are you assured this morning? You may call yourself a Christian. I speak to young people as well as older people. You may call yourself a Christian, but do you really believe there is only one true and living God? Do you believe there is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus? Do you believe this? If you do, then you will be more eager than you are to make Jesus known to this sad world in which we live. No one more precious than Jesus. May God help us all, encourage us all, stir us all up to know and love this Jesus better than we do today, and to serve him better in the way we live and act, to the glory of God and the salvation of men and women and boys and girls. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn. I don't know what it is, but it'll come up on the screen, I'm sure.
Grace unmeasured, vast and
grace unmeasured, vast and free.